are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. It is 2013. It's the first episode of the year. Ratchet and the Geek, how are you, Lovey?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I feel like I've just been tortured for several days, waterboarded, and beaten to a pulp.
So, yes, you watched Scandal today.
This scandal opened with a warning that it might be violent and that young people should leave the room. I felt very uncomfortable. I really hope that it's not that bad. Like, I know in my heart of hearts it probably is that bad. But man, I hope we don't do that to people, because they tortured Huck.
Mm. We do. It was called Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, it's a problem. That was a pretty intense episode. I must say that I didn't think they could quite turn it up like they did last mid-season.
You know, there's, I don't know. This episode wasn't really that intense for me. Like,
really?
Typically, after Scandal ends, usually I'm like sweating. I didn't sweat this time.
Did you know what was going to happen at the end?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, that's something. Okay. I mean, I felt good about the ending.
Oh, no. I felt good about the episode. I just don't feel like it was the most intense one. The last episode before this one was the most intense one.
Well, maybe what's happening now is that the noose is tightening, because the League of Goons pretty much thought they were on top of the world. When we first met them, when they were all coming together to meet in Hollis's office.
Oh my God, that was so badass. I love that scene.
It was pretty hardcore. And now, they're all afraid. Right? The only one who isn't afraid is the Supreme Court Justice.
Uh-uh. The only one who isn't afraid is Hollis.
Mmm.
The Supreme Court Justice, Verna, who I also call Myrna interchangeably, y'all would deal. She is actually afraid. Which is why she showed up to Liv's place, was like, listen, this is what's really happening.
Because of the way that she's being treated by the current president, by Sally.
Yeah.
What's your name for Sally?
Understands. I call her VP Sally.
VP Sally.
Because even though she's president right now, I refuse to acknowledge her as such.
Mm-hmm.
I think Verna is afraid of what will happen if Hollis and Sally really become BFFs that Hollis is working towards. Because that would be nothing but evil.
Mm. When you watch this show, do you check Wikipedia for, like, the constitutionality of stuff? Because I'm checking up. I feel like I need a constitutional scholar or someone with a degree in history to
Shockingly
tell me whether
enough,
or not this is real.
It is. Because, so part of the scene was when David was talking about how, I loved the scene where he's like, I am the U.S. state attorney, therefore you are speaking to the United States of America. The United States of America mm-hmm, is standing mm-hmm. in this room.
Right.
So what he's basically saying is, according to the Constitution, the whole cruel and unusual punishment thing.
Right.
Yeah. They threw that out the window when dealing with Huck, because they're waterboarding him and using his face as a punching bag. And I actually end up liking David in this episode.
I thought he almost redeemed himself, I think, towards the end.
He did. You know? He did. He actually did. I was like, David, I see it for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The signature thing, the whole handedness, left hand, right hand. That
Wait,
was,
what signature thing? Oh, got it.
You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, we're
yes.
not trying to like come major spoilers, but we're assuming that you have paid some attention. But yeah. I mean, when you're forging someone's signature, you should know about handedness. That's just like basic.
Well,
signature forging.
I didn't get a chance. See, I haven't had a chance to watch it for a second time. I probably will watch it for a second time once we're done with this mm-hmm. podcast. But I didn't get a chance to really see what she was talking about in the crossing of the T's.
She was saying, when you put ink on page, okay, mm-hmm. and you cross a T, you press harder when the T starts, and then as you go from left to right, or right to left, depending on whether you're right-handed or left-handed, the pressure of the ink on the page
gotcha.
Decreases as you kind of swoosh up.
That makes
so
perfect
a
sense.
A right-handed person will drag their tee from left to right, and a left-handed person from another direction. So are you pushing the pen or pulling the pen? And it makes it pretty easy to tell whether or not someone is a left-handed or right-handed person.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
that's pretty awesome.
I live for Shonda's mind. Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Scandal. I'm so glad that it's back. My Thursdays have been empty. Okay. If you guys all noticed, we also kind of took a break from Ratchet and the Geek from these 4 weeks because we just could not deal.
Yeah. This is not a Scandal only episode. We're back to our regular schedule until something crazy happens on Scandal. But we will continue to do the first 5 minutes with either Scandal or whatever show is totally got us obsessed at the time.
Which I think in the summertime will probably be Mad Men or Breaking Bad.
It'll be Breaking Bad, no question. No
cool.
Question.
I'm glad we agree.
All right, cool. Have you got any gadgets? Did you get anything over the Christmas holiday?
I actually did not. I spent most of the Christmas holiday and New Year in bed with the flu. But I'm recovering now, and today I got an email from Intel. They invited me to join their tablet crew. So they handpicked bloggers who they like their content to test out their new Intel Atom processor tablet.
Okay.
So I should be getting it in a couple of weeks, and I'm excited about that. But this means I will actually have 3 tablets.
See, that's where it gets tough. Like when they give you these kind of things, they're trying to make you, you know, write a review, presumably. They want you to, and they want you to be honest, but at the same time, I'm sure if you were a jerk for like review after review, they're going to stop giving you stuff. But at the same time, were you going to give this to relatives? I mean, who needs that many tablets?
I know I have an iPad, a Windows Surface, and I'm about to have an Intel tablet. Honestly, I might give the Surface to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs it? I don't know. We'll see.
It's a good question.
The gadget geek in me finds it hard to let go of gadgets like that. So yeah.
I will say this, though, that giving gadgets to people who really, really appreciate them, I gave my 92-year-old great aunt an iPad, and she's just all about Words with Friends and Facebook. You know?
I love it. That's so cute.
So if someone would love one of those devices, that is the joy. Give it to them.
Yeah. So I'll see. Because I live with a family who have a bunch of... Everyone has gadgets. So it's like, we'll see who needs it the most.
Yeah, absolutely. or a charity or a local charter school would be another idea.
And then
you could probably take the deduction, too.
On the taxes. Yes, indeed.
I'm just saying.
And what are your newest gadgets? You always got something.
I do. I got a Logitech touchpad T650. Because I've got Windows 8 on my desktop, and I've got this big desktop machine. It's like I got a 30-inch monitor, and then I got 2 24s on the left and the right, and that's a lot of screen. But none of them are touchscreens. Plus, it doesn't make any sense to have a 30-inch touchscreen because it's going to make my arm hurt as I stretch out in front of me and do this kind of stuff. So I needed to figure out what can I do to have a touch-like experience without a touch screen. So this touchpad is basically like the magic touchpad that you get on an Apple. It's about the size of your palm, maybe a little larger. Mm-hmm. So what is that about? It's kind of like 4.5 inches by 4.5 inches. And it's pretty nice. So you can do multiple multi-finger gestures. So let me see here. If I go 3 fingers up and it takes me to the start screen, 3 fingers down, and I go back over. If I hit 3 fingers to the right, then it will move the window off to the side. I can do 2-finger scrolling, which is super nice. Like, that's one of the things you miss when you move from a really nice laptop to a desktop, is being able to just 2-finger scroll up and down through a web page.
This is fact.
Also pinch and zoom. So you get pinch and zoom on your desktop. And what's nice about it is it's wireless. It charges when you do plug it into USB, but it's wireless, so you can move it around. It lasts for a couple weeks. And it works with your regular mouse. So I've kept my regular mouse, and I just added the touchpad. So I'm digging it. I like it a lot. I think it's not a replacement for a touchscreen, but it's definitely worth checking out.
Well, speaking of the whole desktop-laptop discrepancy thing, so we've been talking about backing up your stuff since we started Ratchet and the Geek, and I had been saying that I felt it in my Shondo that my computer was about to, my MacBook was about to crash. Well, it happened yesterday. It finally said, I am done with life, and it's been nice. So today I took it to the Apple store, and they tested it, and they found it was a corrupt file system. So they figured that reinstalling my operating system will fix it. So, of course, it deleted everything, but I have stuff backed up. So I wasn't tripping. So I came home, set it up, 5 minutes before Scandal, it was ready to go. And my computer was acting like it was brand new and it was like good to go. Mm-hmm. I live tweeted Scandal. Everything was awesome. Because lately, everything, my browser has been crashing randomly and it'll mm-hmm. just randomly turn off. 30 minutes after Scandal went off, my MacBook crashed.
Wow.
And okay. refused to turn on.
Did it make any noise? Did it go like clunk, 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 clunk?
No, it just switched off.
Oh, that's sad. But so will you take it back?
The moral of this story is even my MacBook understands how important Scandal is.
So it stayed alive.
It stayed
for
alive.
Exactly 1 hour.
For just exactly what I needed. So that yes, I will be cool. taking it back to the Apple store tomorrow. Like, okay, just give me a brand new hard drive. Just take out the hard drive that's in here right now and give me a brand new one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that for most hard drives that spin, and I know that yours is a spinning hard drive, they can only spin so long, right? Things spin and that they wear out. And there's a thing called the MTBF, mean time before failure. Mean time before failure means average time till it all goes to hell. And the average time before a hard drive dies is about 5 years. But it could be as low as 2 or 3, or it could be as high as 9. But when you're 5 years into a spinning rust hard drive, we call them spinning rust, the techie types. When you're 5 years into it, you are on borrowed time. Every day after year 5, you're asking for trouble.
Well, see, my MacBook was 3.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, what did you do to it? First of all, that is victim blaming.
You took it all over the world. You took it all over the world.
I've taken it all over the world, and I use my MacBook more than the average person.
That is true.
I'm on the computer. This is a terrible stat to even understand. I'm on the computer for an average of probably 16 hours a day.
Yeah, that's because you're a young person.
I'm young, and I'm addicted to the internet, and everything I do is based online. All my job, everything is based online. So I'm a heavier user, and I use it for like design. There are times when there'll be 20 tabs open in my browser.
Ah, 20? Don't talk to me about 20 tabs. I had 98 tabs open.
What in the hell were you doing with 98 tabs, sir?
I'm writing a Windows Phone application, and I had opened the documentation, and it was one of those things where it was like, oh, I'm going to read this, and it's like, and, oh, I got to check that, and oh, I need the documentation for this, and I own this
you
blog site.
98 tabs?
I know.
Who does that?
I know because it eventually crashed, and then when you started it up, it says, okay, I'm going to restore these 96 tabs, and I was like, oh, no.
What?
Well, step one is admitting you have a problem.
You have a problem, yes.
I've also got 16 gigs of RAM, so it wasn't a huge deal.
Oh, you fancy. See, my MacBook had 8 gigs of RAM, so it still was, you know, doing something.
8 like, gigs? For a writer? Yeah. That's pretty impressive, actually. I'm going to give you props.
Wait,
for 8
am I
gigs.
Lying? I'm lying. Never mind. I'm lying.
You didn't have 8 gigs? 8 gigs is pretty hardcore.
No, I'm lying. Never mind. That was 8 megs. Never mind.
You don't have 8 megs. Oh, please.
I'm lying. That wasn't no 8 gigs RAM. Wait, what, am I lying?
You know,
I don't know.
You had probably a gig or two.
No, I think I'm at 8 megabyte. Wait.
No, it's not 8 megabyte. Let me assure you, it's 8 megabytes. You're losing your tech cred right now as we speak.
Wait, let me check. I think it was 8 gigs. It was 8 gigs.
That's a lot of RAM. That's pretty good.
Yeah, because I upgraded from 4 gigs to 8 gigs. I did, yeah.
Okay. Good for you.
You see me out here. You see me doing something.
Yeah, I got to. I'm gonna be teasing you about 8 megs for a very long time. I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, am I lying? I got all confused for a second. You like, know, okay,
actually,
what had happened?
That reminds me of a totally random story. When I was 15, I was gonna go and upgrade my machine from 4 megs to 8 megs, megabytes. Right, you know what I mean? The size of an MP3, okay? I'm about to double that. And I remember I saved up, it was like $55, you know, for like an 8 meg SIM or 4 meg SIM, right? SIM was the thing they call a memory module, right? So I go to the shop and I'm like, this is my first tech purchase. I'm like, I'm going to buy a 4 meg SIM. And I walk in and I give him like, it's like $55 in quarters and pennies. And I'm like, I would like 1 4 meg SIM, please. And the guy behind the counter was like it was almost like, order up, get this brother a 4 meg SIM. And he brings it out and he puts it down and he says, here you go, son. I'm like, all right, this 4 meg SIM. Okay, that's $55, right? And he says, well, you do know that you need 4 for it to work. Because that was back in the day when memory, you had to buy it in sets of 4. And I just went straight Rain Man on him. I was just like, yeah, definitely four Sims. I will come back later. I'll come back later. And I just walked out with my head like between my legs. I felt so, I don't know, maybe I was 12, whatever. It was just bad. I'm still ashamed. Like 30 years later, I'm beating myself up every day about that.
It's like walking into my house, I just want one rib.
Yes, I've saved up my money. I would like to buy one rib,
one
sir.
One rib.
That's like going to get rib. One. I'm going to Taco Bell, get one Fiesta potato. Can I have one tater tot, please? At the In-N-Out Burger or whatever.
Like four fries, just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Because you know that earnest feeling you have when you have your hand out in a palm and then your index finger pointing as you push the two dimes around. How many tots? I've done that. I've been that poor. Can I buy a single fry? I would like a small fry. This is value menu poor.
Look how far we've come. Yeah.
We all right. I bought a large soda today.
Okay, fancy. Cause you're fancy like that, okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, stop. Yeah, so yes, 8 gigs.
Well, computers are getting to the point, though, you know, that you won't be able to upgrade them. I did a blog post recently about iPads versus services versus ultrabooks and laptops and all this kind of stuff. And it's up on my blog. It's called iPad Surface Ultrabook. Are we there yet? And one of the conversations that struck up in the comments and later on Twitter was this idea that what if you couldn't, and it's getting this way, open up your computer, right? You can't upgrade the RAM on an iPad. You can't fix the hard drive in a MacBook Air, right? Someone's got to pop that open for you with a fancy screwdriver.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad about that? I mean, you're a person here who does not have to buy a Mac if you don't want to. You can get it fixed.
Right.
But what happens when all computers are clamshells that you can't open?
That would suck.
It's happening.
That would suck.
It's happening to everybody. That is the thing. They are appliant. They are disposable.
This conversation right here shows how much of a geek. How much we are geeks. Because people are probably like, Lord. Listen, okay, we are passionate about this topic.
I feel strongly about it. I don't want to be throwing... Well, imagine how many millions of old iPads are going to be. Where are they going to go? Where are we sending the old iPads?
To the iPad nursing home in the sky.
Let me ask you this. If you were walking down the street and you saw a Game Boy, black and white, original, on the ground, would you pick it up or would you just say that's a piece of trash?
I would pick it up to Instagram it.
And then you put it, exactly, and then you put it back down, a piece of trash, because you know I'm always at Goodwill and I'm Instagramming like Super Nintendo and stuff, but I don't buy that crap.
You know what? I might actually buy Super Nintendo because I love Mario Brothers. So
okay. So then fast forward 20 years, okay? Your kids are walking down the street. One of them is maybe they're walking. They're making a shortcut through an abandoned lot, and they trip over something. Look down. Oh, what is this? So iPad 1, it's a classic, in an abandoned lot. Do they pick it up and take it somewhere, or they just go, man, that's just trash?
They probably say that's trash.
Yeah, and then they walk away with their Google Glass contact lenses.
Right, where they can see movies from the eyes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to see where the future's going. Do you do you have any stories of fail for
me
today?
I sure do. So... Today on my blog, I wrote about MLK club parties because they are apparently popular now.
MLK, as in Martin Luther King.
Yes, Martin Luther King club parties, because you know his birthday's coming up on the 20th.
Okay, so then we need to go to the club to celebrate the dream?
Apparently, because now people are having MLK No Worries Bash and the shuffle with his picture on a flyer with him wearing headphones. I'm coming to the club.
Oh, I'm looking at this picture. This is a black and white of MLK, as we remember him, with some Dre's Beats headphones on.
Right, talking about the No Worries Bash.
The No Worries
Bash. That was not MLK's dream for you to be dropping it like it's hot at the club. That was not what that man dreamt about. Why are you guys using his picture? See, people got to get their cousins.
I do not want to go to the MLK Get Your Hand Out of My Pocket Club.
I'm just like, MLK somewhere hitting his Dougie in his grave, like, this is not what I wanted.
Oh, somebody's got to sue somebody about this. This is not okay.
You know,
this is like, this
I would think so, but it feels to me like, how would you sue the club promoters who probably all they got as assets are flyers?
Well, these are guys that are getting this clip art from, these are guys that are getting this clip art from Google Images.
Google Images, but like, and then they photoshopping it badly.
This
I'm
is
like,
not,
y'all
this
probably
is...
use Microsoft Paint for this.
Hey, now, don't disrespect Microsoft Paint. Why? when do you think this becomes disrespectful? If you have like the Rosa Parks, come to the front of the bus, all ladies free before 9.
Having a Gandhi kegger, like, yeah.
The Gandhi, oh,
kegger
the Gandhi buffet.
Gandhi.
Yes, food
what?
Free. That's disrespectful. I'm sorry. That's I can't, Aren't, nobody's got time for that.
They're so ridiculous. I'm just like, people have got to do better in 2013 and beyond. And so far, I've seen 4 party flyers so with MLK's picture on it.
Oh, getting jiggy 4. With.
Like you said, somebody got to sue somebody, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting jiggy with Martin and Martin. We could make a whole thing about this.
Oh, it's like that episode of Boondocks.
Martin and
when Martin Luther King came back and was like, you know what? I'm going to move to Canada. Y'all can have this all to yourselves.
That was great. Actually, a lot of people don't realize about the Boondocks is some brilliant satire. And that was a great episode where he came back from the grave. He was like, what was
yes.
he? Why, was he frozen or how did he come back?
He was frozen.
He was
and
frozen, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He came back, and he looked around, and he was like, oh, see, y'all, this is what is left? Okay, no.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. Yes, people need to do better in 2013. That should be the theme, do better 2013.
Yes, indeed. Let us do better.
I was looking at some tumblers, because I'm sometimes into fashion, and I was talking about...
y'all didn't know that? Y'all didn't know Scott was into fashion? He is. Mm-hmm.
It's true. I was watching this show, Deception. Which is not Scandal. And that is the definition of Scandal. So it's got Megan Good, and she's an actress.
Shade.
No shade. She is an actress. That is legitimate. She has a some kind of, what is it called that you get? The green card or whatever? No, SAG card?
A SAG card. She does. She is an actress. We will leave it at that.
She's an actress. And she's a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman, but her eyebrows are approaching FLOTUS territory.
And I
can't have that. So I was looking at these fashion blogs, and I am seeing more and more in 2012, 2013, beautiful women, beautiful faces, great bone structure, minimal makeup, and eyebrows that are just completely unacceptable.
You know, in fact, let's talk about that. Here's the thing. Megan Good has always irked my nerves because... the only role she ever plays are various levels of hoes. Like, she's always a hood rat.
In Californication, she tried to make a role out of that, but it didn't happen.
It didn't happen for her. She's a perfect hood rat. But here's the thing. I want her to expand her horizons. So I guess Deception is what happens when she tries to expand her horizons. I didn't watch it because, like you said, her eyebrows bother
here's
me.
Here's the thing. Listen to the thing. Understand, like, we are so... And be understand, I feel bad about this, right? I am a horrible person, to be clear. I have no illusions into the... you know, I'm not trying to say that I'm like, well, you know,
Scott knows
righteous.
Ain't about their life.
No.
He knows.
But what I am about is, it's a good show, okay?
Is it really?
It is a really good show. I would put it... If Scandal's a 10, I would give it a good solid 7.5. It's not Fringe.
Uh-oh.
It's not Fringe, but it's perfectly reasonable thing to waste your time on.
Okay.
But how dare I, as an armchair quarterback, you know, offering my opinion on this talented young actress's eyebrows, how dare I say that this show almost fails entirely on the strength of her eyebrows?
Because, you know, like Kerry Washington's lips are my spirit animal.
Mm. Yes, Megan Good's eyebrows are not anyone's spirit animals.
Exactly. They are nobody's spirit animal.
Yes.
They are what you don't want your eyebrows to look like. And I would like the record to show eyebrows are really important for women because they frame our faces.
Frame your face. Thank you.
If I'm not good at anything or if nothing else on my face looks good, I can vouch for my eyebrows. They stay snatched. You hear me? Snatched to the gods.
Men don't worry about this kind of stuff, right? As long as we don't have nose hairs popping out, we're pretty all right. A man has a decent haircut and a nice pair of shoes, he's doing okay. But if you have bad eyebrows, then it's not going to happen for you.
Well, you know, FLOTUS eyebrows, here's the thing. I love me some Michelle Obama. She is everything. Her eyebrows are not that great. Whoever does her eyebrows makes them too thin, so she looks like a cartoon villain sometimes.
We need a constitutional amendment for this.
Yeah, they got to fix it. Somebody got to fix it. I'm like, Michelle, you are too good for these eyebrows.
It's a crime. It's a crime. But it's a good show. And if you can get past the eyebrows, I would say Deception is a perfectly reasonable show, and I would I think you should enjoy it before it's canceled. I think it premiered
Scott,
like 2 days ago.
Damn, all of the shade in your soul. But speaking of eyebrows, though, have you checked out the Tumblr, Cholified?
Oh, no. I think somehow this seems racist. I don't know what this is, but it sounds racist.
It's a little...
Cholified. Okay, so Chola, I don't know if that's necessary. Chola is a kind of Latina gangster.
Yes.
Oh,
they're
no.
mostly Mexican.
Okay.
And usually their eyebrows are drawn on and they have, like, eye tattoos.
Oh, no.
Like teardrops. Think so of Little Wayne if he was a Mexican.
So what I'm looking at here are pictures we've seen before. Charlie, I'm looking at like Doctor Who. Oh, and my goodness, Andy Warhol. And they basically remove their eyebrows, painted them back on. They've got teardrop tattoos.
Cholified is hilarious because
I can't even.
You should see Drake's Chola face. First of all, he has a tattoo of Drake on his forehead. He got a teardrop in his eyebrows. I was on Cholified for about an hour last week. I could not function because I was cracking up. I was like crying.
I'm tweeting it right now. This is awful.
It's awful and it's awesome. You're welcome.
You know, this is the thing. What did people do to be creative before the internet? We probably read books and talked to people.
Read books. Yeah, they had read books and sat by, you know, the fire and had chats and listened
you know
to the
did?
Radio.
It would be like you'd have banjos and you'd sing and you'd like dance in the, and what's it do, like step in, like Appalachian step dancing.
You make up steps, you know, you draw in the sand. Now we have the internet, so therefore
the
we can sit and be lazy.
You've seen The Jerk, right?
With Steve Martin.
With Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just imagine that that must be what it's like. Like, just mama and pa just kind of like rocking on the porch and, you know, playing a little ditty on like a cigar box guitar that they made with like rubber bands and a cigar box. And you just
those are dark times. Those are dark times. I'm glad we have the internet.
That's my culture. That's my white trash roots.
Huh?
Don't disrespect my
people. Them your people, Scott.
No, they're not my people. My people, we got here late. We came in 1906. I don't know if those are my people or not.
Look at him. You see how he's like really quick to not claim his people? I see what he's about. I see what he's about.
Yeah, that's all right though. That's all right. You've been blowing up on Twitter lately. I've been really impressed. You've been having a lot of fun. I could tell, especially when you were sick. You were still tweeting.
I tweeted a little bit. Like the first couple of days when I was sick, I couldn't even hold. Mm-hmm. My phone. I was literally in bed under the blankets.
Oh, the young people. I was so sick. How sick were you?
I couldn't hold my phone.
Oh, did you go to the hospital? Oh,
no.
It slipped right out of my fingers.
Right. I couldn't open my MacBook. Oh, no. Yeah. So, but then when I was like, I was still sick, but I'm like, if I don't do anything for the rest of 2012, I need to finish the dumbest tweets list because this is a requirement and the game needs me. So I pulled together
the game.
I'm not sure what the game is, but it needs me, whatever it is. So I pulled together all the strength in my little tiny body and did the dumbest tweets of 2012 list.
Oh,
and
it's
part one and part two.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Dumbesttweets.com. If you haven't spent the time there, spend the time there. You will be dying. It is completely, it's just the saddest thing ever. Like if you're not thinking that the world is about to end and we're all screwed,
just spend about 15 minutes on dumbesttweets.com. You will know better. Your eyes will be open.
Oh, this one here. This guy tweets, Kim Kardashian is pregnant with Kanye West baby. My brain cannot procrastinate this.
Like, sir, you mean process, goof? Seriously, the people on, how about tonight? A whole bunch of people were tweeting, I love Olivia Pulp. Who is Olivia Pulp?
Olivia Pulp.
And is she freshly squeezed? What are you doing? Oh, dumbest tweet. So, yes, dumbest tweets list is up. And so far, it's been tweeted 1,084 times.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is
great.
And
it's been liked on Facebook 2,700 times.
You know, people don't appreciate the work that goes into curation. You know what
Yo,
I mean? You are curating
exactly.
content here. And they think that you're just throwing tweets up. You put a lot of work into the dumbest tweets.
I do, because I had to pick 50 tweets out of 1,000. You know how hard that was? I think I actually spent 4 hours just picking tweets, like narrowing it down to 50. See, this is why the game needs me, I tell you.
We're sitting here like, oh, this white collar work. It's so hard.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, my hands. Did I just break a nail on my keys?
Oh, my brain.
We are first world problem epitomized. I have three tablets. What am I going to do with them?
You know, I noticed actually I was looking on your Twitter recently and there's a new link you have under your Twitter that I don't have. If I go to twitter.com/lovey, and here you go, I'm going there right now, and then it says, you have a link here, it says view summary. Not view conversation, but view summary. If I click on it, suddenly I see a picture from a post, so I can read about a post without leaving Twitter. How did you do that?
A post from my blog. So I am really excited about this. I actually made the announcement on Twitter when it happened. So what it is called Twitter cards. Cards on Twitter are considered when you integrate another website with Twitter and allow the content to be viewable without you leaving Twitter. So think about Instagram for 4 weeks ago, before Instagram and Twitter had beef. You know, when people will put up a picture of an Instagram picture and then you can look at it directly from Twitter without going to Instagram.
And what happened was they turned that off, so you suddenly had to leave Twitter to see a picture.
Which was really stupid and inconvenient, but we'll get back to that later. So Twitter cards, what you can do now is you can apply to Twitter to have it to where your website, anytime somebody drops a link of it in Twitter, they can see the summary, like an excerpt in a picture, the featured image on Twitter already, and it'll also tell people who wrote the piece, even if the person who dropped the link doesn't tell them anything else. So my website now, if you put in any link of my site on Twitter, people will be able to view summary, and it'll have a picture, my featured image there.
Where does the summary come from? Did you write it, or did someone write it for you?
The summary is, if you don't have an you know how you are able to assign something as an excerpt?
Excerpt?
On your blog? You mean like, yeah, excerpt.
You mean like you can take some text and then make it a summary? I can't do that on my blog. Is that a WordPress thing?
Yeah, it's a WordPress thing.
Okay.
So for people who have WordPress, or even I think, I don't know if Blogger has it, but if you have WordPress, you can actually give each blog post a summary that's 160 characters or less that summarizes it for people across the web whenever they see your content. So if you don't give a default summary, if you don't give a summary, it'll pull the first 160 characters of the post.
Ah, okay. And this is what's called a micro format. A micro format is an agreement. It's a contract. You say, if you have meta tags that have this name, then I will treat that as information. And you know, we have a contract right now, right? We put in our descriptions and our keywords in Google. If, you know, in our blogs, rather, so Google will know them. So then it sounds like Twitter's trying to make this a standard. This is like a thing.
Yeah, and here's why it comes in handy, and here's why I think most bloggers need to have Twitter cards activated, is because what it does now is it always attributes your content to you. So even if you randomly send my blog link to anybody online, if they're viewing it through Twitter, it will tell them this is from @Lovey.
I'm looking at this, CNC. The tweet was by you, but let's say the tweet wasn't by you. It indicates.
You can test it out.
I'm looking at it. I'm seeing it here, and it says MLK's dream, da 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 da. Because it links to your blog, it says this is the person on Twitter who this content came from. So someone couldn't even pretend that it was their content.
Exactly.
This is like what we talked about a couple weeks ago with authorship in Google.
Yep.
So it's Twitter's exactly doing that, too? I need to get
Twitter's
this hooked
up. Twitter's doing that, too. You need that because another thing about Twitter summary is when people who've never come across your link click the view summary, that might be the difference between them clicking it and not clicking it.
Ooh, that's a good point because people are basically leaving Instagram because they suddenly like, well, I'm not going to bother this, right? I can't even see it. If it's not going to integrate well with Twitter, why do that? So if people don't have this, they may be left behind.
So here's how you get it. You go to dev.twitter.com and you tell them that you want a summary card. Now, for the people who have WordPress, there are two ways to activate this on your website. You can either do it manually, which is a harder way, and I'm not going to really tell you. You can Google that. Or you can download WordPress SEO plugin by Yoast, the best SEO plugin out there. Download it, and you can actually activate it by checking it. And then you go to dev.twitter.com and you apply for it because they have to approve your URL. Mm. It'll take about a week. Once they do that, all your links will start showing up on Twitter as summaries.
Wow.
Boom. Get this you a piece great. And be great in 2013. Hit me up if you have more questions. Dropping the mic.
That's pretty hot. Yeah. I'm impressed. The thing is that this is sad. I don't use WordPress. I wrote my own blog. Now you're going to make me crack open the books, and I'm going to have to go and implement this myself because this is too epic to not have.
It is. It totally is too epic. I'm so excited I have it.
Yeah, I'm glad you have it. You're using Yoast, which you recommended a couple weeks ago. It sounds like it just happened for free in the sense of you put a little bit of work, you signed up, and implemented this plugin. So it sounds like people need to use this plugin.
Use this plugin, and if you have a problem using this plugin, hey, I do it for a fee for you where I can actually do this for you. So hit me up on the Twitters. Anyway, this week, Scott basically semi-saved my life. So my nonprofit, the Red Pump Project, we do our annual campaign every year. Annual campaign with bloggers to get them to put our red shoe on their websites. Mm-hmm. And on March 10th to talk about the issue of HIV and AIDS, because March 10th is Girls AIDS Day. So this is our fifth campaign that's coming up. We're launching it next Friday. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest pains in my butt these 4 years where we've had the campaign is creating the list of bloggers who signed up. In 2011, we had 1,250 bloggers sign up to participate with us.
Wow.
Imagine having to manually type in information for 1,200 bloggers. That has always taken up so much time. So I asked Scott, how do I do this automatically? Because people sign up through Google Docs. How do I get Google Docs to send me the information automatically to WordPress, which is what our website is based on? So me and Scott had a little coding session 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did pair programming. I shared my screen because I'm the programmer and Lovey's the customer. So I said to the customer, you sit with me, you'll be my on-site customer, and you'll look over my shoulder virtually with Skype. I'll write the code, and some of it was boring for you, recognizably, but some of it was pretty interesting because by her watching me write the code, you were able to basically say, no, it should look like this, and I understand this, but I need to validate that, and you were able to basically break it down for me rather than you and me emailing for a week, which I don't have time for, and I frankly didn't have more than an hour to do this with you. I mean, I want to help, but, I got stuff to do. You got stuff to do. Imagine how many days or weeks or hours this would have taken for us to do. But by sitting with each other and pair programming, we busted this out in, I think, about 55 minutes.
No, an hour and 45 minutes.
Well, there was a middle part there where we were just looking stuff up and talking. I don't count that part.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But we were able to do this where I wrote some code to talk to Google spreadsheet with the Google API. Then we created an HTML file, and then we uploaded it with FTP, and then right now it's actually running in the background. So, once or twice a day, the information will automatically show up on the Red Pump site, and suddenly hours of boring work becomes zero work.
Yeah, so that launches next Friday, and I am really excited, so hopefully you guys can sign up. You don't have to be a woman to sign up.
Absolutely.
But it gives you an excuse to go buy a pair of red shoes if you don't already own them.
Mm.
And it'll be an easy sign up, and it's for a good cause. We're raising awareness about HIV/AIDS in women. So, yeah. So, join us. Redpump.org is our website.
Yep.
So, we will be all ready to go. Shout out to Scott for help. I'm telling you, I was like, Scott, yes. I was like hollering, like, oh my God, you just saved my life.
It was fun. I love that kind of stuff because it's not the kind of grind that I do every day. It's meaningful work, and I like doing that kind of work. It's cool.
It keeps you sharp. It keeps you sharp, too.
Yeah. Exercises brain parts I didn't know I had. So we're going to put the link for Red Pump Project. Of course, you can Google for it, but we'll put it up on the show notes. And I'll also put a link to the explanation, if you're interested, coder or non-coder, step-by-step, what Lovey and I did to do that. We'll put that up on the show site as well. I think that's a show.
Yeah, I think that is our show. We're glad to be back. We love you guys' comments. We thoroughly enjoy them, so keep them coming, and tell the people about Ratchet and the Geek. Tell them we are here to stay.
Oh, and we love it when people are listening to the show and commenting in real time. That's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. We always get... Oh, our friends do that all the time. They're like, oh my God, this line is funny. Yes. So, yeah.
All right. We'll see you again, I guess, in a week or two.
Yeah. Holler at us on the Twitters.
All right. Bye-bye.
Peace. We out.